it did cause friction, and you asked if it went on for a lot of my career. Well, after those very first Junior World Championships in 2000, where, you know, I had some pretty horrendous experiences with the British team that year, even though at the end I did win that Junior World Road title. My family and, you know, some of our sort of close friends within the cycling community, we wrote a very detailed report, sent it to British Cycling with recommendations.
20 pages.
It was, yes. but it was almost like a sort of blueprint of how you go to a world championship if you're serious about winning, yeah, and not just going there to get the badge, make up the numbers and, you know, have a holiday. So, you know, things did change after that. And I'd like to think that the success that British Cycling is having at the moment as one of the leading cycling federations in the world, you know, there's part of me in that.
We'll go in even more, because there's another great quote going head-to-head with a lottery funded athlete, which I'll read out in full in just a minute, because it's well-phrased. And again, yeah, it kind of sums up sort of your career of bashing your head slightly against brick walls on occasion. But we'll do that in just a second.
Where is Cook coming down the inside? Cook has come to the front. 200 metres to go. Nicole Cook of Great Britain, the 25-year-old from Wales. He's looking here to land a gold medal. We have never won a medal of any colour before. Is she going to run out of power? 100 metres to go. She's still at the front. Oh, Cook takes it. Nicole Cook is the Olympic road race champion. The gold medal is hers. I thought she was going to buckle. Bet she's won it. She's clenching her fist and smiling.
Still makes me smile. She's going to buckle. Nicole Cook is with us up until 9 o'clock on Radio Wales Sport this evening. The autobiography is called The Breakaway, My Story. It wasn't always the case that you were going to be an Olympic champion in the minds of everybody within the Great Britain setup. Is that fair to say, Nicole? Or were you just not somebody who was willing to kind of toe the line with their systems and processes?
I think it was pretty obvious that I was very determined about what I was doing, and my track record showed that I really was sort of on my way in terms of where I was going. I had the results, and yeah, I was definitely progressing towards that world title, Olympic title. So I think people might have been aware of that, and in the earlier days, the fact that I wasn't a product of the lottery-funded system, and there were riders that were receiving a lot of lottery funding and a lot of, you know, directors of the World Class Performance Plan who had obviously invested a lot of their reputation around those riders that they were funding. So, you know, when I turned up from outside the system, particularly the first British Championships when I was 16, because, you know, at the time there weren't any under-18 junior championships for girls, let alone any under-16 championships for girls. I rode the senior race and I beat the riders that were getting all the funding. So while I wouldn't agree that people didn't believe in me, I think I was actually a threat to their positions that they'd taken, and rather than swallowing their pride and saying, yeah, absolutely, I made a mistake here, or we could be doing things much better, they did the opposite and tried to put up the barriers and almost drive me out of the sport by stopping funding. And, you know, there was, in 2002, I was sort of the best British rider, not funded by the National Lottery. And so I wanted to obviously appeal that decision that was made. British Cycling at the time had an appeals process, which was that, you know, the appellant, so me, the rider, would have to put up, you know, a deposit.
Okay.
The appeals panel would be chosen by British Cycling, so they would do that, and then they would make their decision, and then that decision wouldn't be sort of announce, it would then go to the board.
Okay.
And the board had the right to overturn that decision if they wanted to.
Right.
So I wasn't going down that route with my appeal.
No.
So we went to the Sports Dispute Resolution Panel and we actually had a hearing at UK Sport. And I don't think it... you know, was a highlight for, you know, all the powers of British Cycling, the CEO, Peter King, the performance director, Peter Keane, president, Brian Cookson, or Dave Brailsford, programme manager as well, to actually be there with a 19-year-old across the table. So, I think it caused a shadow, which then sort of was there for most of my career.
Would you do anything differently?
No, because...
there was no hesitation at all there.
Absolutely not. Obviously, at the time, I considered, you know, OK, can I work with these people? But looking at the riders around me and seeing how they were actually treated, there wasn't a case of, working things out and being reasonable with it. It really was their decision, no alternative. And for me... it became, you know, if these people do have the control, you know, a team agreement that is, all the demands of the federation of the athlete, but there's nothing back. There's no clause or anything that says that the manager has to act within, you know, a certain level of, you know, sensibility in terms of the decisions that they're making or how they're making the decisions. It just meant that you signed away sort of all of your power as an athlete and the decision of the federation was final, end of story. So it really meant that the relationship would have been set up wrong and then that would have set the precedent for my whole cycling career. So actually challenging that team agreement and the funding issue in 2002 meant that they had to rewrite the team agreement for cycling. And UK Sport thought, while we're at it, we'll rewrite the team agreements for all of their federations that were receiving the lottery funding. So that was a really big moment in sort of how the relationship was between the federations and the athletes. And, you know, yeah, took some knocks, but it was worth it.
It certainly was. And, you know, as well as your personal achievements, it's kind of inspired a generation of cyclists as well, and one of them can join us on the phone now, Eleanor Barker, who recently added European Championship gold to the one that she won with the Pursuit team at the World Championships as well, not to mention the Commonwealth Games success, which we shall come to. Eleanor, how are you? Okay.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, really good, but then I haven't had as good a 2014 as you have had.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Yeah, it's been pretty pretty eventful, a lot of competitions, but yeah, really good.
The Commonwealth Games, silver and bronze into the mix, as well as the golds that you've had with Great Britain. Can you rate them? Can you go, okay, Worlds, then Commonwealth, then European? Did you do that, or is it just, no, I've done really well at everything I've done?
I guess you can, yeah, from a kind of an outsider's perspective, but also like the kind of the process you go through to get each medal, they all mean a different thing to you. I think maybe that the Commonwealth bronze medal is actually probably my favourite out of those because of the process I went through to get it and how I felt before the race. I was a little bit down at that time, and it really kind of kick-started me going well again and me doing well in races again. So I think that's meant a lot to me this year. Not to say that the other races haven't, but that's really stood out for me.